After adding Corey Kluber into the mix, the Yankees have added another starting pitcher. The Bronx Bombers have agreed to acquire Jameson Taillon from the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're going to break down the trade and more on this special episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition, a very special edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Again, this is a special episode. Why? The New York Yankees have made another move. After just acquiring Corey Kluber on a one-year deal just a little over a week ago, Brian Cashman strikes again. The Yankees have officially acquired Jameson Taillon from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for four minor league prospects. We're going to break down the trade as a whole for you on this special episode of the show. It is good to see that the Yankees are trying to bring in some starting pitching, but there may be some question marks surrounding the state of the Yankees rotation in 2021. And we're going to talk about that and more on this latest episode. If you're new to the show, we welcome you aboard. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk some Yankees baseball with us. If you're a returning member, welcome back. We always appreciate having you here. Now, if you haven't done so already, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account, a little bit of a change, just Nick Delahanty. No more underscore. I love not having that underscore. Twitter hooked me up. I was able to get my regular handle. I am very happy. And again, find us on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast, and on our Instagram page, Delahanty Media. Check out all those outlets and go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com, for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. Now, let's jump right into this, shall we? Jameson Taillon, right? If you don't know who this guy is, he had very high upside coming out of high school. This guy was the second overall pick in the 2010 draft out of Texas. And now you may say, oh, he was the second pick. Well, let me tell you who was picked before and right after him. The first pick of that draft was none other than Bryce Harper. The third pick in that draft was Manny Machado. So looking at this guy, there was a lot of upside coming into his professional baseball career that this guy could be a really good pitcher in the big leagues. Now, he has had some struggles in regards to staying healthy. He is coming off his second Tommy John surgery. We haven't seen this guy pitch since 2019. He missed the entire, and it was short, but the entire 2020 season as he rehabbed the second Tommy John surgery. And if you recall, a couple of years back, he did deal with cancer, was able to overcome it, which is a great feat. But Taillon has bounced back, and that's the thing that I feel is very important when you're looking at this guy as a whole. If you look at his numbers, 29-24 over his big league career, has appeared with the Pirates in four seasons, 3.67 ERA, has made 82 starts with the Pirates, and his best year came in 2018 when he posted a 14-10 record with a 3.20 ERA. And remember, you know, the wins and losses really can't be a tale of how you look at this guy, because let's remember, the Pirates haven't been very competitive over the last couple of years. So you really don't want to look at that as a whole. But if you look at his stuff, and I encourage you to go on YouTube and see how this guy throws, because there's a lot of video of highlights of him. Has a really nice fastball, has some life to it. And the one thing you have to remember and you have to look into as well is prior to having Tommy John surgery, he added a slider into his repertoire and it became one of his most favorite pitches to use. And his spin rate rated him among the best in the sport. So if he can get back on track, I think that this is a guy that really makes sense for the Yankees. Only due $2.25 million in 2021, so it's a very cheap deal. It fits what the Yankees are looking to do by staying under the luxury tax. He's not a free agent until 2023. They have 2 years of club control on this guy, and he's expected to be ready for opening day. So, yes, you may have looked at a Joe Musgrove that the Pirates were offering, and they ended up trading him to the San Diego Padres as a guy that the Yankees really should have went after. But Brian Cashman felt that the price was a little too high for him, and decided to go with the, you know, lower risk, higher reward type of deal with Taillon. And you can't really blame him considering the Yankees' circumstances right now, looking for pitching in any way, shape, or form. Now, before we get into the whole trying to figure out the Yankees' rotation situation, let's look at what the Yankees did give up in this trade. And not that it's surprising because Tyone's coming off an injury and there's some doubt with him. You didn't expect the Pirates to get top prospects for him. The Yankees did part ways with four minor league prospects, three of which are in their top 30, none of which are in the top 10. So you don't give up your top tier prospects, but you do give up some guys that do have some upside. And the Pirates, as obviously they're not trying to win now, are looking for pieces for the future. And by this trade and the pieces that are going to Pittsburgh, you could tell that was the route they were looking at. The major piece right now that you look at this is Miguel Yajori, who is the Yankees' 15th ranked prospect. We saw him a little bit in 2020, made three appearances for the Bronx Bombers. I think he threw seven innings of work. Really solid stuff. Could probably contribute right away for the Pirates, maybe in a relief role. It doesn't seem like he's very far off of the big leagues. He's a guy that, yeah, you know, you like his upside, but the Yankees have an abundance of right-handed pitchers, and, you know, after a while, you got to give up something to get something. So a guy like him is a solid piece, but really shouldn't be one that you say, oh, the Yankees shouldn't have done this trade because he's involved. The next piece that they gave up is their number 19th ranked prospect, and that is Roansy Contreras. And Contreras hasn't pitched above A ball. And again, his ETA is probably 2022 or 2023, according to MLB Pipeline. He's a guy that over 50 career games in the Yankees organization has made 47 starts, has pitched to a 3.25 ERA, but given the fact that he hasn't pitched above A ball, and given the fact that he's coming off a year in which he didn't pitch, you know, it may be a little while before the Pirates do see him in the big leagues. Yankees like his stuff, obviously. There's a lot of people around the game that like what he brings to the table. High velocity, good spin. He's a typical type of Yankee minor league pitcher. But again, the Yankees have an abundance of that right-handed pitching talent, and we're willing to part ways, especially in this deal. The next prospect is Kanan Smith, the Yankees' 21st ranked prospect, a left-handed hitting outfielder. He's 21 years old. He was the Yankees' fourth round pick in the 2017 Major League Baseball draft. He's another guy that we haven't seen above A ball. So his ETA is probably a couple of years, and now it's starting to add up what I said earlier about the Pirates looking for guys that they have control over that not necessarily are ready for the big league level now. He's a guy that they like his tools. A very good eye at the plate. Being a left-handed hitting outfielder is enticing. But again, he's not a guy that was going to make an impact on the Yankees roster now or within the next 2 to 3 years. So he's another piece that became expendable. And the final piece. And again, don't laugh at me if I mess up this name, and I apologize to him if I do. And that's Michael Escoto. And he's an 18-year-old. He doesn't turn 19 until June. And there's a lot of upside to this kid. First of all, when the trade went through, I had no idea who this guy was. And I'm going to be completely honest. You know, not rated in the top 30. And I do my homework on the Yankees minor league system, but I had no idea. But reading into what he brings to the table, there's some high regards for him. Yankees signed him out of the Dominican Republic. He spent 1 year in rookie ball so far. He had a 3.15 average. Yankees kind of played him all over the field. Spent some time at second base, spent some time at short, and a little bit at third base. The scouts believe that he's a full-time shortstop. He's skilled enough at the position. There's some comps that are very interesting regarding Escoto. One being Jose Reyes, the other being Jimmy Rollins. If he turns out to be one of those two players, or a combination of both, the Pirates got a nice one here. And again, he's probably a couple of years off from where the Yankees would need him. And he's a guy that the Pirates were probably looking in on and saying, look, we think there's a high upside to this guy. We think we can make him into something in a few years. And when we're ready to compete, he'll be ready to come up and make a difference. So that's the fourth and final piece. Yeah, he's not ranked in the Yankees' top 30 prospects, but this kid definitely has some high upside. Not a big frame, 5'11", 180, but he's a guy that, after reading about him, you got to have high hopes if you're the Pirates. And yeah, you don't want to hear, oh, we traded a big league caliber arm for guys we may not see for a couple of years. But in the long run, the Pirates could have some quality players that could help them make future runs, not only in the division, but in the National League as a whole. Now, the big thing for the Yankees going into this trade was their 40-man roster was filled, right? And we remember Got a clear spot for LeMahieu. Got a clear spot for Kluber. Now, you had to add Tyon to the roster. So, this trade clears up two spots. The Ahori and Contreras were both on the 40-man roster. So, the Yankees will most likely have to make another move in the near future to clear up that final spot. Not that they're in a rush to clear the spots to get those guys on the roster, but I'm sure that Brian Cashman and his team have some ideas in mind to get it done sooner rather than later. And now, that trade is done. You know, you add Tyon to the roster, you have Corey Kluber to the roster, and you're looking at your rotation as a whole. And now, I want to ask you guys because, you know, this is something that does concern me a little bit. And I'll explain my logic on both sides. First and foremost, I think Tyon, especially looking at his numbers and been watching YouTube footage ever since the offseason came along, because obviously when the names start coming up in the trade rumors, you look these guys up. He has great stuff. And if he could bounce back from the Tommy John surgery, I think he'll be a fantastic add to the Yankees starting rotation. My big concern is this. The Yankees are going into the season, and let's just say they don't make another move in regards to starting pitching, which very well could be the case. You know, coming closer to the luxury tax, they have a couple of other things they might want to do. They might think that they're set in regards to the starting pitching. Does it concern anybody as much as it concerns me that between Kluber, Tyon, Luis Severino, and Domingo Germán, they combined for one total inning of work in 2020? And now, mind you, I know the whole Germán situation. I don't know if he's even going to be a factor at this rate. I'm sure that the Yankees are going to give him a second chance. We don't know when Severino's going to be back. But the health of Kluber and Tyon are big pieces and big things for the Yankees heading into this season. If both are healthy like the Yankees think they are, and I'm sure they got high recommendations from the staff that have worked with them, and Gerrit Cole is very close to Tyon from their days in Pittsburgh. I'm sure that they know a lot of insight on both guys. But the health risk has to be a little bit concerning. And if you listen to the Yes Network, and I believe it was David Cone who said it, and I don't want to quote the wrong person, but I believe it was Coney. Coney said, coming off a 60-game schedule last year, teams need 8 to 9 starting pitchers to get by this year. Why? Because you're not going to get 200-plus innings from these guys after having a shortened season. That, first of all, it's a very big injury risk, and we know how the Yankees' injury history has been over the past couple of years. That's just not a good recipe for success. But in total, if you have injuries, if you have guys not be able to hold up, it will become an issue for your team moving forward. And looking at this rotation right now, Gerrit Cole is your one. After him, you have Kluber, Tyon, Severino when he comes back, Montgomery, who's in his second season of rehab off of Tommy John surgery, Davey Garcia, Germán, like I mentioned earlier, Clark Schmidt, Michael King. And now, you could probably throw some others in there. Chacin, they signed to a minor league deal, but they have so many options, but there's so many question marks. You expect Gerrit Cole to be Gerrit Cole. Obviously, that's what you expect. You hope that you get the Corey Kluber from a couple of years ago when he was a Cy Young candidate. Do you have a set innings limit on him coming back from injury? Is there a number of starts the Yankees think they could get out of him? Same with Tyon, right? How many starts do you really expect to get out of these guys? Maybe 15 to 20 each? And the same thing goes with Severino. When Severino comes back, it'll be a really nice boost to add him into the mix. But how much can you really rely on him? And Montgomery, Garcia, Schmidt, these are guys that have shown upside, but you don't know what you're going to get out of them. And Germán's a year off of pitching in the big leagues. Who knows with him as well? So there's a lot of question marks in the rotation, but I will say this. I do give the Yankees credit for going and trying with these guys. Would you rather them bring back a Jay Happ, who we know can't make it work in New York, or a James Paxton that has just struggled both with injuries and velocity? Or would you rather them bring back a Masahiro Tanaka and overpay Tanaka, and all of a sudden his ticking time bomb of an arm goes off and he needs Tommy John surgery? So yeah, the Yankees are being cautious here with how they spend. Obviously, they don't want to go over the luxury tax, and they're getting very close. But by bringing in Kluber, by bringing in Taillon. They're trying to add depth to a position that was a very big question mark coming into the offseason. Do I think they're done? I sure hope not. I still hope that there's room for them to go out and get a Kyle Hendricks and slide him in as the number two. Because then you look at your rotation and you say, look, you have Cole, Hendricks, Kluber, Taillon, Montgomery, Severino, and then whoever's left that you don't trade for Kyle Hendricks. Because obviously you would think a Garcia or a Schmidt would go in that trade. You have a lot of options, and I think Hendricks would just solidify the rotation a little more. It's a big question mark. If it all works out, Brian Cashman's going to look like a hero. If it doesn't work out, the Yankees are going to be questioned for their way of going about things this offseason. But if I'm talking to Yankees fans, and I know that everybody's a little concerned about it because you're looking at this team, you're saying, the window to win is right now. You know, is this the time to really get frugal when Cole's in his prime and the Yankees lineup is full of talent? I think they're trying to go with some low-risk, high-reward guys and hoping that the high rewards do pay off and benefit them down the stretch. This won't be a question if the Yankees are holding up a World Series trophy at the end of the year and the guys they've brought in were key assets. You know, maybe Taillon's like a Tyler Glasnow who comes over to the American League and just finds the right fit and figures it out. He'll work with his buddy Colligan, who apparently gave a high recommendation to acquire this guy. So it shows how close they are from their days in Pittsburgh. There's a lot to like about this trade. There's a lot of questions around this trade. But if you're looking at the package right now, and you're saying the Yankees got a solid starter coming off of Tommy John surgery, who has a very high ceiling, for four prospects that three of which weren't going to make an impact either this year, or maybe not even next year or the year after, you got to consider it a win right now. And obviously things could change. You could look down the road and three of those guys could be all-stars and Taillon could struggle in the Bronx. But only time will tell. But the initial look at it is they didn't give up any top 10 prospects. They really didn't overpay for a guy like Jameson Taillon. And still, they added an arm that could help them get to the finish line into that promised land that they've been so desperately trying to get to over the last couple of years. I like the trade. I really do. Once I heard the Luis Castillo offers that they want the Glaber, I was a little hesitant on giving that up, but I think that the Yankees made a smart move trying to take a risk on Taillon and see how it works. Yeah, Musgrove would have been nice, but were you really willing to give up a package that would have been close to what the Padres gave up? The Padres have given up a lot of prospects and still have one of the best prospect systems in the game. The Yankees start doing that, you lose some depth in that organization, and that doesn't help you in future trades. So I like where they went with this. I really do. I'm happy it's done. I'm happy it's finalized. I hope the Yankees are not done. I don't think they are, but I hope they're not done. Another starting pitcher would be nice. Maybe you dump Ottavino's salary to give you a little more flexibility there. But overall, I think if you're looking at this trade, you got to be excited about it, and you just hope that Taillon and Kluber can both stay healthy and active for this team, because if they are, this rotation has the potential to be really deadly in 2021. But again, as more things happen throughout the offseason, we will continue to provide new content for you, so make sure you're following along. Follow us on Twitter, at PinstripeTalkND. Let us know your thoughts on the Jameson Taillon trade. Follow us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast, getting all the latest news and updates regarding our show. And of course, find us on Instagram, Delahanty Media. We post every time we have new content out there. You don't want to miss out. And as always, you guys know the deal. My name is Nick Delahanty, and I'm the host of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. The Yankees are making moves. Spring training is coming closer. And the Bronx Bombers are gearing up for a run at World Series number 28. Once again, thank you all for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this special episode, the breaking news of Jameson Taillon being traded to the New York Yankees. I'm Nick Delahanty, and this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. Stay safe, everybody. Take care. We'll talk to you really soon.